So now I give the floor to Yosef. Let's start from, I think start from a question S6, yeah? Alignment
Thank you.
S6, 16, yeah.
Thank you, Jinchao, and welcome back, everyone. So the aim of this session is to discuss alignment with IFRS 16 leases, which is section S6 in the RFI. Question S6 seeks views on aligning the IFRS for SMEs standard with IFRS 16, making the following simplifications. First, permitting the option to use a discount rate by reference to market yields on high-quality corporate bonds if the interest rate implicit in the lease and the lessee's incremental borrowing rate cannot be readily determined. Second, changing the definition of lease term to non-cancellable period for which an entity is required to comply with the lease. Any subsequent extension of the lease term then would be accounted for as a new lease. Third, simplifying the requirements for subsequent measurements, reassessment of lease liability by requiring a lease to be remeasured in the event of a substantive change in the term of the contract. The effect of any other change would be reflected in the income statement for the period in which it is recognized. Other simplifications include retaining the disclosure requirements in Section 20 of the IFRS for SMEs standard and simplifying the language. Overall, there is mixed views on the alignment with IFRS 16 leases. Many respondents in the comment letter support alignment because of relevance and greater transparency about leases. Some respondents do not support alignment, and most of these respondents mention the need to better understand implementation issues and costs, including via the post-implementation review of IFRS 16. Most users interviewed said that recognizing leases on the balance sheet will help them assess repayment capacity and will result in better disclosure. They also said that bringing leases on the balance sheet should not be challenging for SMEs that typically have less complex leases than larger entities. In the light of the feedback on the RFI, the staff think that the SMIC should recommend that the board carry out additional work to understand the implementation challenges of IFRS 16, for example, by obtaining input from the members of the Global Preparers Forum on their experience in implementation and associated cost. I would now hand over to SMIC members for the discussion.
Thanks, Yosef. Billy, you are the first one to comment. Yeah.
Thank you. I look back at this, the IFRIC discussion, and since the issuance of IFRS 16, the IFRIC has issued, I think, 5 agenda decisions, and this may be indicative that more IFRS 16 implementation experience is necessary before considering similar application by SME. Therefore, I think the current level of IFRS 16 implementation experience may be insufficient to appropriately and effectively align or simplify its requirement for the SME purpose. This may not be really a technical aspect. You know, the SMEs are one of the group hardest hit by the effect of COVID-19, for which there's still much uncertainty as to how long its effect might last. So given the complexity involved in implementation of the new lease accounting model, yes, I heard you, Yusuf, you say there will be some simplification, but still there will be learning curve, there will be resources required, and whether the SME are well equipped with the resources that they may not have, like the bigger IFRS preparers who are also struggling with implementing IFRS 16. So I think we should not rush into aligning IFRS 16 with in the IFRS for SME standard. Thank you.
Thank you, Billing. I think we got your point. Una, please.
Thank you. I'm afraid I'm in the exact opposite camp to Billing. I really believe that we need to look at implementing IFRS 16. The effective date of this second comprehensive review is not going to be until 2024 or 2025, I think that's a good bit in the distance. I think leasing is a very important form of finance in the SME sector. And I think to delay the implementation of IFRS 16 until the third comprehensive review would be just simply too far advanced. The other main point I wanted to make was that I really think that we need to be very careful in making a change to the lease term as defined in IFRS 16. I believe that moving toward a non-cancellable period just opens up too much structuring opportunities in the drafting of leases, and that it will just simply not achieve the faithful representation that IFRS 16 does. Simplifications with regard to discount rates and modifications, I'm quite comfortable with those. I just think the lease term is something that is subject to so much structuring in the drafting of a lease contract that I think we need to be very careful we don't destroy the standard by incorporating that simplification. Thank you very much.
Sorry. Yes. Carmen, please. Yeah.
Thank you. I guess I just want to give some context to my comments. So in Australia, we do have non-publicly accountable entities who apply full IFRS. So consequently, I've spent a fair bit of time working with non-publicly accountable entities attempting to adopt IFRS 16. And I don't necessarily agree with the comments in the staff paper that one of the respondents said that their leases are simpler. In many cases, they were actually more difficult because they were with related parties. They didn't necessarily have up-to-date documentation. The lease term, as Una's just mentioned, was massive. We probably had huge, huge, huge discussions, and I would be really cautious about making simplifications around that because in many cases, the lease term was significantly longer than that non-cancellable period. So I agree with the discount rates. I agree with those modifications, simplifications. But I just wanted to caution that they're certainly not simpler leases that these particular entities have. And I'm also very nervous about waiting for the post-implementation review of IFRS 16 because I think that time period is too long. I think we need to try and do this, whatever it's going to look like, in this revision.
Thanks, Carmen. I think we got new information. Raymond, please.
We've got a mixed bag of reactions to this on my end. The one reaction was, well, let's wait for agreement with the staff paper. Let's wait for the post-implementation review to occur. Maybe a little bit more research is required first before any changes that IFRS 16 might have, any impact that IFRS 16 might have on IFRS for SMEs is implemented. But at the same time, there's also the point of school of thought that says bringing in IFRS 16 has allowed for a more faithful representation of what is sitting on an entity's balance sheet from one period to the next. Bringing on the liabilities, bringing on the right of use assets shows a lot more information that has currently been reflected maybe in one of the last notes in a set of financial statements. So that's important that information be provided. So there's those completely opposing camps of thought in our part of the world, and I think both have some merit in their argument, in terms of the approach that should be taken. I think from where I'm sitting, maybe there's a little bit more research that is required to be done, based on the learnings that we've had out of the application of IFRS 16 at the moment. But I think the sooner that those learnings are implemented, are incorporated into IFRS for SMEs, probably the better, because I think that will probably give us a middle of the road sort of approach to dealing with this, because I think it is important that that I think we get the accounting right. But at the same time, it's also important that I think we take from the learnings that we've got. But waiting for the PIR to occur may be a bit late. Thank you.
Thanks, Raymond. Edison.
So, hi, thank you. Thank you again. So I agree with the staff recommendation that the board should carry out some additional work to understand the practical challenges entities are facing. Considering, of course, such items is a really relevant and very important source of finance for the SMEs. Alignment, in my view, is necessary, but on the other hand, simplification is mandatory. Otherwise, costs you overcome benefits for the SME as we are seeing such situations in some large companies. So applying IFRS 16. So considering the post implementation phase of IFRS 16 is not yet concluded. In my view, the board really should carry out additional work in order to have a clear view of the post implementation process of the IFRS 16 before suggesting changes in the standard. But as the other members said, so the sooner we do it, the better. Thank you.
Thanks, Edison. Daniel.
I go the same line as we have seen in this discussion. This is a very controversial aspect. That is why I support the proposal of the staff to obtain more evidence before making a final decision on the application of IFRS 16 procedures in SMEs. Thank you.
Thanks, Daniel. Ayodhya.
Thank you once again. With respect to the principle of simplicity for IFRS for SME standard, I support the view to align the Section 20 with IFRS 16, thereby simplifying recognition and measurement requirements in respect of this country. However, in Nigeria, we believe that care should be taken regarding other simplifications to ensure they are consistent with IFRS 16 and a fruitful representation for SME. Thank you.
Thanks, Ayodhya. Peter.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you once again. Okay. I agree with the staff who prepared my thoughts of who carried out additional work to understand the practical challenges entities face, especially ISMEs. And we have to take precaution in this area. When we want to establish standard for small SMEs, we have to look on the undertakings of the SMEs. So we should avoid to think on how IFRS 16 is working, then thinking it is possible to handle them under SME. So the best approach is to go and check, carry out a detailed work on how SMEs are undertaking this. You know, reason is very important and essential component. So when you deal with them, you have to give them care and ensure that you don't leave out the concept of simplicity, but make sure what you move out is proper. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peter. When?
Thank you, Jinchao. Peter kind of stole my thunder there in that I agree with him wholeheartedly. I think it's very important that we are mindful of the objective of alignment and simplicity, which we discussed yesterday, as being the objective of your kind of alignment with between efforts for SMEs and the full efforts. The experience that I've seen in the market in terms of the implementation of IFRS 16 amongst the larger companies is that they've really, really struggled. And if we're going to put in place a simplified solution, we need to know more about the struggles that they've had before we can actually put a solution in place. I agree with the comments that waiting 5 years is too long. So somehow we need to find a middle ground between getting some of the feedback from the PIR or getting as it comes out, but then also implementing a solution which is stable and not going to be subject to change in the near future.
Thanks, Wynn. Paul, please.
Yeah, thanks, Ching Chao. Strong support for the staff recommendation for the way forward on this issue. We do need more evidence, but we can't wait to 2024. Sadly, the jurisdiction that I represent and work in, the European Union, I ain't going to have much evidence for you because, as you know, there's very little take up in the European Union for this standard. Of course, greater take up of IFRA 16. That's all. So strong support for the staff recommendation.
Thanks, Paul. Reinhard.
I'm afraid I have a slightly different view. I think kicking the can a little further down the road is not going to help. I think we need to come to a conclusion to either go with 16 and then we can have little twists and tweaks, but not too much. Otherwise, it would be too different. Or we decide not to go with 16 and then we can, you know, follow Bieling's suggestion to stay with the current accounting. But I don't think there's much additional information that we could gather other than the issues in practice. But what do we do with the issues in practice once they come to the table? I mean, some of them we already discussed, like determination of the lease term, variable lease payments, all those kind of things, interest rates. The operational difficulty in applying the standard, I think, is quite significant. And we have that evidence already on hand. Even larger companies are struggling with implementing the new standard. So I would assume SMEs will even more struggle. So I think, and to be honest, I don't know the right answer at the moment. So I'm, if I prioritize simplicity, then I would definitely have to say we need to stay with the current accounting. If I follow the notion that implementing 16 was the right thing to do for IFRS, then I can hardly argue that it would be the wrong thing for SMEs. So that's where I'm stuck in the middle. My personal view is that we fixed the problem with 16 that I never saw as a big problem, to be honest. But now that we have 16, I'm worried if we do not align, then we have too big of a discrepancy between the two frameworks, which would be a very fundamental decision, I believe, to go down that route and consciously decide we want to have a very clear separation between the two frameworks, which I think we can come to that conclusion, or could the board could come to that conclusion, but I think that's a very fundamental one. So with all due respect, I don't think waiting too much longer will help us in that decision. I think the key question is, do we believe very large deviation from IFRS is acceptable, then we should stay with the traditional lease accounting model, or we want to have alignment, then all we can do is a little twist and tweaks, for example, on determination of discount rate and maybe taking some of the IFRIC decisions into consideration and simplifying it there, or the ongoing discussions around lease modifications, which could potentially cause pain for SMEs, but it would be just a little twist and tweak. It would not be a massive change, I believe. So I'm not much in favor of postponing too much further down the road. Thank you.
Thanks, Reinhard. Lei.
Okay, thank you, Jian Qiao. So following Reinhard's concerning and the comments, so from my point of view, so I strongly agree with the alignment of the single model for accounting lists in IFRS for SMEs with the IFRS 16. So because I believe that the existing accounting treatment for operating lists, which is, you know, is not required the recognition of the assets and the liability, would result in significant the different accounting treatment in similar lease transaction for both, you know, for who is implement the IFRS and also for the SMEs. So I strongly agree that alignment of the IFRS for SMEs with the IFRS 16. But in the meantime, I agree with that we need to, you know, to as mentioned, so we need to, you know, to do the those simplification to maintain a not high implementation cost for the SMEs. Thank you.
Okay, Lei. Okay, I think Lei has a very clear, you know, favor to alignment with IFRS 16. Okay, Billing, I think you would like to respond both.
I can see that, you know, waiting for the next BIR will be a bit too long. I mean, I fully understand that. I'm just thinking whether we can be a bit more flexible. You know, even you want to include in this comprehensive review with all the simplification, you know, and taking into the various SMIC members' view on how to simplify, can we actually have a staggered effective date? For example, for this IFRS 16, we actually have a different effective date. Right now, what happened is the IFRS for SME, when we issue, is all the same date, one big bang date. But for this, you know, it would be great to actually have more implementation experience, therefore perhaps to actually phase out for this new standard in the IFRS for SME to actually have a different effective date.
Thanks, Billy. Chris Pan.
Thank you very much. I support the alignment to IFRS 16, right? The first point is that the leasing is one of the major sources of finance for SMEs, and therefore it is an important aspect of financial performance when users and preparers evaluate financial performance for SMEs. Right. That being the case, yes, we need to agree that there is a lot of simplifications which are required. But that being the case, that the leasing is very important for SMEs, I therefore support alignment. But delaying alignment to me is delaying a right to fair representation of SMEs accounts. Yes. So I don't agree with the delaying alignment. I think we should do that now. Then changes from research will be then made later on as we go. But we need to align now. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris Pan and Brandon.
I just wanted to lend my support to the alignment and also the view that it's not something that we should particularly be waiting to deal with. I think there is a requirement that we should address it earlier rather than later. Thank you.
Thanks. I think anyone else want to comment? Yeah, not the case. It seems that some members agree to to align with IFRS 16, some not. But from my point of view, I think at least we need to do some work. I think majority of the SMIC members ask us to do some additional work. For example, when and how and to what extent we needed to achieve the alignment with IFRS 16 and also the cost benefit, you know. So I think we got a very clear message from SMIC members. Yosef, what do you think? Yeah.
Yes, thank you. I think that's very good feedback, especially your comment on being cautious with the simplification, the proposed simplification around the lease term and also waiting for the PIR as well as deferring to the next review will be too late. So I think overall, most of you support some form of alignment.
Yeah. Okay, so now, Yosef, can we move on to the next topic? Yeah.